We are beginning a series on the portrait of Jesus. Portrait of Jesus. And we want to read the first four verses. They are loaded, they are packed, and each word here is weighty and comes with meaning. And so it's good we pay attention to the word of God. These four verses together, taken together, they would summarize the picture of Jesus Christ as given to us by God through the writer of the book of Hebrews. And this is what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophet at many times and in various ways. Out in these last days, he has spoken to us, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he has made the universe. I want you to take special note of heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. He also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Let's pray. Mighty Lord, as we turn our attention now as a church to focus on Jesus Christ, we want to confess at the onset of this series that our mind will never fully grapple the beauty, the grandeur, the works and the person of Jesus Christ. But how we pray the Lord, even through this series, that you would lift us up to have a better understanding of who Jesus is. And the Lord, you may set him before us in all his glory, that our hearts may be moved to worship him, to obey him and to follow him and to put our trust in him. And Lord, as I bring the word this morning, I know our mind may be buffeted by all the cares of this world, but how I pray that you may silence all the cares, that we may listen from you this morning. And so our prayer this morning is that, Lord, would you speak? Because your servants are listening. Thank you for our online audience. We also want to pray similarly, the Lord, you speak to them as you speak to all of us. For this our prayer in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Emmanuel Jambo is a name that hit the headline a couple of weeks ago because he's a gifted photographer who took the official portrait of our president. He's a South African, South Sudanese photographer, and he has gifted hands of taking pictures. And I don't know what was going into his mind as he was called in and had to set the camera, and the president had to come, and he had to take an official portrait that will be hung in all office, public places, and business places in Kenya. Now, this picture that he captured of our president has become a picture of great discussion, a subject of great discussion. People who are artists and photographers and general public are debating as to whether he was on point and was not on point. What did he exactly capture about the president? What did he capture about the president? And as he was talking about it in interviews, he was speaking of how he loves to bring out the image of who the person is, that we can connect with that particular image. Of particular concern about this image is, number one, it was the first image of the four presidents we have had that is captured in a 3D dimension. And again, is the first image to have a flag on its background. And so it has made for interesting commentaries. But sometimes we see pictures and we see all portraits, all manner of portraits, including the one of our president. But sometimes we don't pay attention. We move away so quickly. Particularly in the world that we are living today, we are always bombarded with images. There are always images that are beaming from TV screens. Even right now, you're seeing some of the images. There are images that are coming to us through social media. Sometimes I just scan through the social media because I don't have time to see it and look at an image and just soak in that particular image.
And because there are so many images in our lives that are coming every now and then, they're coming at a fast speed that we cannot be able to process all the images. At one point in my life, I had the opportunity of working in a museum, and this was the Billy Graham Museum. It was a collection of the history of evangelism in the U.S., and my specific job was to sit at the reception desk. I would welcome visitors who would come, smile at them, just tell them what to expect as they go through the tour of the museum. It was a room as big as this church, and it was designed in a way that people would go around and see all the various exhibits about Christianity in the U.S. And there was one specific mural that was the center of attraction in that museum. It was the image of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and the various parties that were there, the soldiers and the Roman party, the chief priest and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, the disciples and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women and the curious onlookers. It was a big feat of art. It was just like probably five meters by 9 meters, a huge piece of mural. And I had this old man, he was about in his 70s, 75, thereabout. Every Sunday afternoon, because I would man the museum on Sunday afternoon, he would come in. And he would go past all the other exhibits, which were equally amazing. And he would go to this particular exhibit of the cross of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And he would be there if he came in at 2 or at 3. When I'm closing the museum at 6 is when I'll go around and tell him, hey, it's time to close the museum. Would you get up now? Because I need to close the museum. For him, he just wanted to be fixated with this one picture of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And Sunday after Sunday, he would faithfully come to the museum. And so this was my last Sunday that I was working there. And I told him, I had the pleasure of hosting you for the time that I've been here, but next Sunday I'll not be here. I'll be going back to my home country to serve the Lord there. And he got into his wallet, reached out, and carefully tucked into his wallet, he got me this coin. He got me this $1 coin. And most of you may have seen $1, but you may have probably not seen a coin of $1. It's a coin that was made like in 20s. And they are very rare in the U.S. And he told me, "I want you to keep this. I want you to keep this." And up to this day, I have kept this coin. But it always reminds me of that man who would always sit at the picture of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And today, as we, Odu, are you thinking I'm going to give it to you? Always fun of making fun of Odu. And today, as we start this series of a portrait of Jesus Christ, that's my prayer, that we may sit and soak in the image of who Jesus Christ is. In the picture that we posted in the advertisement that we put up, the ad that we put a picture by one Yuri. It's a mosaic picture of Jesus Christ. And one of the questions we ask is, if you were to paint a picture of Jesus Christ, what would you want to capture in that picture? What would you want people to know about who Jesus Christ is? About who Jesus Christ is? And this passage that we are reading today in the book of Hebrews paints to us a picture of how Jesus would look like if God himself was to paint that picture. If God himself was to paint that picture. Now, I want you to notice how the passage begins. It's a book of Hebrews written by somebody we do not know to a group of Jews who are not living in Jerusalem at that particular time. And we do not know much about the group except that this group was tempted to leave the picture. They were tempted to leave Jesus Christ, but to walk away from Jesus Christ. They had come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but again, so quickly, they wanted to move on. They thought that now we have known Jesus Christ, now we need to move on to the next chapter of our life. And the writer of the book of Hebrews has to remind them there is no next chapter of Jesus Christ. He is everything. You have to stay here. He's the real deal. He's superior than angels. He's superior than all the Old Testament prophet. He is superior than all the priests that we know of. He is the culmination of all the prophecy. And as he came to this beginning, in this tense passage, he wants to bring to us who Jesus Christ is, who Jesus Christ is. And he says, in the past, that is in the past, God has spoken to our ancestors through various, through the prophets in many ways, many times and in various ways. And I just want to stop right there. Number one, God has spoken. God has spoken. The question is not whether God has spoken. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? And many a times in our life, we may be tempted to say, God, speak, say something. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. You want to pray like the psalmist prayed in Psalm 83. I would assume it's Psalm 83. And this is what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 83, beginning there one. He says, oh God, do not remain silent. Do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not give me silent treatment, Lord. Do not stand aloof, oh God. Speak, Lord. Speak. I want you to speak, Lord. That's what the psalmist prayed. God, speak. But I want you to know that God has spoken. Today we have been praying about marriages. And I know one of the things that people get in marriage when they get angry is that they give each other silent treatment. They are not going to talk to you, and I'm not going to say anything to you. I am angry at you, and there is no good person who is going to talk to one another. Now, God is not giving us silent treatment here. God has spoken, and God has spoken loud and clear. And the question for us this morning is, are you listening? And I love the verses it says, in many ways and at many times and in various ways. Not just one form of communication. He has spoken through Moses, but he has spoken through the prophets. He has spoken through the other prophets. He has spoken through Psalms, as well as speaking through the minor prophets. It is diverse ways he spoke to our fathers. He has spoken to them through the prophets. But then, even for him to be more clear, even for him to be more vivid, he has now spoken through his son. He has spoken through his son. In other times, he spoke through mediums of the prophet, and we had the prophet. And when the prophet was speaking to us, we had God. But now in these last days, he has spoken through his son. His son. He has spoken through his son. And I want to tell you, today, my role is not to be a prophet to you. Today, my role is for Jesus Christ to speak. He is the Son of God. It is no more procedure of protocol that when your superior is there, you don't stand up to address matters of policy when your senior is there. For example, if there are issues of AIC Kenya that needed to be addressed and my bishop is here, it will be so unbecoming of me to try and articulate policy issues. And if he's here, the best thing would have been to let him articulate policy issues. And let me tell you what happens when we talk about the prophets, is that now God has sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he's the one who speaks. And he says, in these last days, I hope you catch that line. That says, in these last days, that there is no one else who's going to come, that this is the communication. He is the word of God packed to us. He is the message of God. He is not like the prophet who came with the word of God. He is actually the word of God. And I know in many ways, sometimes we want to listen to somebody who says like they have a word for you. But I want to tell you, are you listening to Jesus Christ? He has a lot to say to you. Are you listening? Is his word enough for you? Is his word enough for you? I think the problem with the book of Hebrews or the audience of the book of Hebrews is that they wanted to hear other voices. They wanted other communication. And he's like, no, he is the one. He is the one. I don't need to be a prophet today. I need to interpret what Jesus says. He is a communication from the Father. I have nothing new to say apart from what Jesus Christ said. He is a culmination of everything that God wants you to know today. And I hope he's sufficient for you. He's sufficient for me. And I can sit and listen to what he has to say. But just so why we know we need to listen to him, the author will give us 7 wonders, and I don't have time to go through the 7 wonders. I'll probably go to 5 wonders of Jesus Christ and why we need to listen to him. So that you may know how incredible Jesus is, this is the whole thing. Number one, he's the heir of all things. He's the heir of all things. Why is Jesus the picture of God? Why is he special? What color would we paint him with? He's the heir of all things. Look at what he says, that God in these last days, meaning that there's not going to be any other communication from God apart from what he has said through his son. He has appointed him heir of all things. He has appointed him heir of all things. You remember that when Abraham was about to die, he appointed his son Isaac as the sole heir of his entire estate. And I think Abraham was just prophetically doing that because of how Jesus Christ will become the heir of all things. And I know you ask yourself, how does he become the heir of all things if he made all things? I want to go back to the book of Psalms, the Messianic Psalm 2. The Messianic Psalm 2. And this is a prayer. The song of the Messiah. And he says in verses 6, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. This is the language of Jesus together with his father. You are my son. Today I have become your father. And the father now continues in the next verse. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the end of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. I love that messianic psalm. And it just paints to us a picture of what will exactly happen. That the kingdom of this world and the nations will be handed over to Jesus Christ. And by the way, we see that unfolding in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, if you go on the song, that's why we sang the song this morning about the Revelation song. There's a scroll, and there's one who has the scroll. It's God himself. If you look at Revelation chapter 5, and this scroll is sealed on both sides and has 7 sealed. And there is a voice in heaven that says, who is worthy to come up and take the scroll and bind? And so we ask ourselves, what is this important document that is being held in the hand of God the Father? And I can tell you that is the title deed of the world, if you wish. That is the inheritance of the nation, if you will. And the Bible says that there was no one in heaven and on earth under the heaven. That is verse 3. It says there was no one. And John says that when I saw that, he wept. Because there was no one who could take the nations as his possession. There is no one who was befitting to become an heir of all the nation. And then the angel announced with a loud voice, and he says in verses 5, do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the 7 seals. He's the one who is able to open the scroll and the 7 seal. And I want to tell you at that moment, heaven rapture with songs of praise singing. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Because him alone was able to take the scroll. And as a matter of fact, if you continue reading the book of Hebrews, the book of Revelation, because that now points to how things are going to unfold. By the time we get to chapter 11 and the final seal is broken in this document, when the final seal is broken in chapter 11, verses 15 says, And the seven angels sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. That's where we get the Messiah, the hallelujah song, that he will reign forever and ever and ever. Why do we need to listen to the Son of God? Because he's the heir of all things. He's the heir of things that we see and we do not see. He has become the owner of all things. And you know what is amazing about him becoming an heir? It's because the Bible says that we will be joint heirs with him. That we will share in that inheritance that he is joint heir. My son have all of a sudden become obsessed with world's richest people. This week he has been telling me about Elon Musk and how much he's worth and how much his money would mean to everybody in Kenya, and has told me about several other rich people in the world, top 10. I think he's just telling me, Daddy, you need to work a little bit hard. I think that is his language of telling me that. But even as he's been telling me this, I am amazed at how much Jesus Christ is worth. He's worth. That is everything, and we will become joint heir with him. I want to listen to that person who owns the whole world. Sometimes people are listened because they are there because of the property they have. Coming from a seminar this week where we had a couple of business executives speak, and when they went out to speak, everybody would applaud because of the accomplishment in the business field, probably of the money they have made. But I want to tell you, this is the one person you need to listen to. He's the heir of all things. There will be an inheritance. Today, the world doesn't look very much like it's under the control of Jesus Christ. But after he defeated Satan, and after he rose again, he is now on a mission. And everything will be made to be subject under his foot. Everything. All the kingdoms, the nations, everything that we see and we do not see, all the currencies of the world and the economies will be under him. And you need to listen to him. You need to listen to him. Number two, the picture of Christ is not just that of the one who is the owner of all things, who is the heir of all things, but he's also the picture of the one who is the creator. Let's go back to the passage. He says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Again, the issue of heir comes before the issue of creation. So we listen to him because he is the creator of everything. The universe, as we see it, is created by himself. And that's what the Bible tells us in a number of passages, that through him, heaven and the world as we know it has been made. He is a creator of everything. It says in the book of John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing, not a thing was made. All things were made through Christ. I want to tell you, for you to know a person is God, it is because of that act that they are able to create. The fact that none of us can be able to create eliminates us from being God. But Christ himself not only made the material things, but also the spiritual things. It says in the book of First Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. All things are from Christ. He is the agency of creation. When God had purposed creation, Jesus Christ is the agency. He's not that baby we see in a manger. You know, we see him at Christmas and we just think he's a small baby. But before he even came, he pre-existed, and through him, everything
that we see and we do not see was made. It says in the book of Colossians 1, verses 6, 16, sorry. For by him are all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Through him and for him. All things were created through him and for him. And so today I just had, this week I've been preparing for this message. I've just had fun just looking at what was made. It blows my mind every time I think about the creation. For example, do you know that the sun that we are enjoying the light from, the diameter of the sun is about 1.4 million kilometers. 1.4 million kilometers. The earth itself is just 12,000 kilometers. You will need about 108 earths to fill in the sun. You need the first earth, the second earth, the second, the third, to 108 sun so that you cover the diameter of the sun. And God has made it so in a way that only him can be able to do that. He has made light to be able to travel. The lay of light that we are now enjoying right now left the sun 8 minutes ago. 8 minutes ago. This is how you are hitting the light, because light travels so fast. It travels about 300,000 kilometers per second. Imagine that. Light that is traveling 3,000 kilometers, 300,000 kilometers per second. You know, the supersonic jets we have been able to make today, do you know how fast they can be able to travel per second? Per second can only be able to go 6 kilometers. 6 kilometers per second is how fast we are able to go. God is able to make light that can be able to travel 300,000 kilometers per second. It takes about 8 minutes to be there. The moon, which is very near us, because the moon is just about 400,000 kilometers away, it takes about 1 minute, 0.25 seconds for light to get from earth to moon. It's just light. God himself saying, let's compete, yeah? Do you know how long you and I can travel for that distance? If we go nonstop, we'll have to travel for 27 years. For 27 years to just get to the moon, which is our neighbor. And yet, God himself makes light to travel within 1.25 seconds. Now, Jupiter, which is the farthest, in the solar system, light will have to travel for by about 33 minutes. And that is about 588 million kilometers away. But when we have been 588 kilometers away, where the light is able to go for 33, we have just completed our small solar system that is within, which is the smallest star, because by the way, next to the sun, the nearest other star is called Alpha Centauri. And Alpha Centauri is 5 times the size of our sun. That is the next star, next to our sun. And just that is not part of our solar system. And we have just begun to experience what Christ has made. And anytime we see some person who have made a phone, we just say, wow, amazing. You must be a genius. Yeah? We see a young person who has constructed a flight that can fly. And we just bring all the cameras and they take videos and they put him on the news. And they say, this guy is a genius. Look at the invention that he's able to come with. And then we hear Christ has made the universe go, ah, okay, that's nice. I mean, we completely lose the fact of the genius and the creativity of God. We need to listen to the one who is the creator. And by him, all things were created. all things were created. Amen?
So we listen to him because he's a heir. He's the heir of all things. We listen to him because he's a creator. And number three, we listen to him because he's a revealer. He's a portrait. He's a picture. This is what he says. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful hand, by his powerful word. If you turn again to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1 and verses 15. The same concept will be repeated in verses 15, and it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn over all creation. We'll come to interpret that passage of firstborn over all creation, but I want you to get that first part that says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. The Old Testament brothers and sisters had a big problem because they wouldn't see God. Even for people who became so close to God, as we know the case of Abraham, they wanted to see God. And God tells them, no, you cannot see me. You will see me, you die. That's the only way. You cannot be able to see me. And until one point he has to say, like, let me then just pass, you see my backside so that you can be content. You can be able to be content. But now in the New Testament, the blessing we have is that God himself came in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the exact representation. He is the same substance. He is the same essence with the Father. And now to see Jesus Christ is to see the Father. And that is what believers in the Old Testament didn't have. Now we can see the Father. Thomas said, how can we know him when we haven't seen him? And Jesus was like, you have seen me. I am the one who represents him. I am the one who represents him. To see Jesus Christ is to see God. He is the exact picture. And so if you want to know how God thinks, how God looks like, read the Bibles, read the gospel. And as you encounter Jesus Christ of the Bible, you are encountering God. God has made himself personable. God has made himself Emmanuel, and that we can be able to reach to him. He reveals the Father. He's now no longer so mysterious, but we can have a relationship with him. You can connect with him in a personal way. And therefore, as Jesus Christ comes to us, he comes to us in a way that we can be able to connect with him. We can be able to connect with him in a personal way. And that's why he invites us in a relationship with him. In a relationship with him. Today, it actually beats me that people reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus actually told this when he was on this world. He told it in a parable. And when he told in this parable, he said like there, it's called the parable of the vine dresser. And in this parable of vine dressers that we find in the book of Matthew 21, he says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and put a watchtower. He then rented a vineyard to some farmers and moved in another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servant to the tenants to collect his fruits. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned the third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time. And the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. Can you imagine today people can be able to be so defiant as to now turn down their nose on the one who is sent, who is a complete revelation, who is the heir of all things. Nothing will fall outside his dominion. At the end of the day, things may not be like that, but that at the end of the day, everything will be made to be under his foot. He will have dominion over everything. The one who will be heir of everything. And you know, the one who created everything we see, and the one who is the exact representation of God, who is a portrait of God. People can just say, we will kill him. We will kill him. And the question that follows there is one that Jesus is right to ask, because he says, but when the tenants saw the son, they say to each other, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out in the vineyard and killed him. He asked the question, which is a question I want to be answered in your heart this morning. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do? What will he do to those tenants? My friend, Christ is before you today. What will you do? Will you love him? Will you serve him? Will you obey him? Or will you spurn on his face? Will you reject him? What will you do? But the time will come when that question will be asked, what will he do with those tenants? Let us pray. Jesus, we pray today that you would forgive us in many ways that we have not esteemed you. We have not regarded you. And yet the whole eternity will not be enough for us to understand your beauty, your majesty, your power, and your glory. Lord, we pray the Lord you'd help us. Particularly as we coming days, we try to paint a portrait of who Jesus is, that this will be deeply embedded in our hearts, that we'll never walk away. We will know it's you we want, and we don't need to move away from you. So our desire this morning is that for those of us who feel like they need to listen to somebody else or to some other philosophies or to some other things, but Lord, you may rebuke our pride and you may rebuke that spirit, and that you may bring us back at the feet of the cross, that we may gaze at the beauty of Jesus Christ. You remind us in your word today that you are the sole heir of all things. Lord, how we pray that one day we'll be joint heir with you. And Lord, you may grant by your mercies that out of the riches and out of your abundance, that you may grant that we'll be joint heirs with you. We thank you for even that possibility, that we could be joint heirs with you. Lord, we thank you because you created everything. Small things, one molecule you created, and big things like the multi-universe that we are yet to understand, even by today's standard. And so, Lord, we thank you for your creatorship. And because you are the only one who is a creator, we bow down to you and worship you. And we pray that that will be the disposition of our lives and our hearts, that we walk humbly before you, because you alone are the creator. Everything else is what was created. That sets you in a class of your own, Lord. And again, Lord, we pray for you. For you, who is the exact representation of God, that we may just soak in your image, that we may understand who God is like. And so bless us today. And be with us, for this we pray in Jesus' name.